Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Welcome to this week's episode of our podcast where we talk all things telly with me, Claire.
And me, Rebecca. Each week we'll be chatting through what shows we've been watching.
And we'll be keeping you in the loop as to what you should be series linking in the coming 7 days.
At the end of the episode, one of us will pick something for the other to watch so that we can chat about it next time.
And we'd love you to tune in along with us.
This is Spilling the TV.
Claire, episode 3, mm-hmm. Series 2.
Yes.
A hiatus because of my fluting around
little,
place.
You know,
jaunts.
Gallivanting. Yeah. Happy to facilitate.
Thank you. It was lovely. We had a week in the sun. Happy to be back. And then what happened last week? There was something. I was probably just...
I think, you were in Galway filming. And yes. I had rehearsals.
Yes.
So we just couldn't make
How's
it work.
How's that all going?
Great. Yeah. Took me ages, I think, to really find the character, like the true essence of the character. But I think I have her now. And we look forward to it. We ran the play start to finish yesterday. And I hadn't seen bits of scenes and stuff. So it was really good. But yeah, looking forward to it.
Do you find it exhausting, all the rehearsing?
It is tiring, but it is the best release. Honestly, if you have had like a bad day or you're preoccupied with something or you go to rehearsals and you cannot think of anything else and it's fabulous. So you go home kind of invigorated. Obviously it is tiring over a period of time, but I love it.
It's such a big commitment.
It's a massive commitment.
I don't think I realised how much of a commitment was until you told me about how much you rehearse.
Yeah, they're really, see the drama group as well, like they've been running for like 30 years, so they're really committed and they don't do things by halves.
What was the name of the play that I went to see and I just thought it was amazing?
The Approach.
I loved that.
Yeah, now this is really different, like this is a big ensemble piece and there's 19 of us I think in the
19?
Maybe 17 in the cast, yeah.
Oh my God.
So it's a big, you know, Oscar Wilde costume drama. So it's really good fun. It's a really funny play. And you just hear all those, you know, sayings that you know so well of Oscar Wilde's, but you're not sure where they come from or...
Yeah. I have my ticket booked. I cannot wait.
Yes.
I'm excited.
It's very exciting. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait. And how's your filming going?
Really good. So I started filming on a new project that will air around Christmas time.
Brilliant.
It's so sweet, Claire. It's so basically the idea is we're filming with a group of men who are all called Sean.
Ah, you don't, yeah.
Who are Shan, who are older. And it's just kind of, the idea only came from the play on Sean and Shan.
Uh-huh.
And then it's just chatting to them about their lives, their take on modern society, their advice for younger generations. But Claire, it's just so much fun. Like the actual filming itself.
Yeah.
The interviews are beautiful in their own right. And actually, I'm kind of surprised at how progressive these men are.
Isn't that funny?
It's really interesting. Like I've asked, so I ask the same questions with a few, obviously, depending on what happens in the course of the chat. But one of my questions is always, is there a common belief that was accepted throughout your youth that you now look back on and do not agree with?
Oh my God, amazing.
It is. And I don't tell them in advance the questions, but so many of them have brought up the laundries.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And they're really affected by it. But that's one that keeps coming up.
And so what parts of the... I know you were in Galway last week. So where, what other parts of the country?
So I've been to different spots within Galway, Cork, the Midland. It's all kind of like a spread.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's brilliant.
And how many Shans have you?
Seven. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. That sounds amazing.
Oh, it's lovely. I'm loving it. I'm loving this gig.
Sounds great.
I'm loving this gig. It's full on. There's a lot of travel and I'm wrecked. But do you know what I did today? I took an annual leave day on a Monday and I sent my child into childcare.
Good, good.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Had a great day.
That's good. What'd you get up to?
I woke. Just about.
Okay, blow by blow.
So I had a birthday party for Pather yesterday. So my in-laws were still here and they did the morning for me. So I woke at around 9:30, came downstairs, did an old prenatal workout, which I'm doing this.
So impressive.
I'm so impressed with myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't ever do one on Pather, but I really struggled like physically with back pain.
Okay.
And I didn't have a clue what labour was going to be like. So I just think it's the best thing I've ever done. So I did that.
Brilliant.
Then I had a gorgeous little brunch for myself. Then I watched a programme.
Rebecca Day.
Rebecca Day, totally. I watched a programme for us to chat about. And then I took a trip to Decathlon and IKEA.
Oh my God.
I know. It's a beautiful day.
Oh my God.
I don't know. How was your day?
My day was okay. It was kind of a funny day because I was doing training, like receiving training, okay. But I was in work. So I was trying to fit in seeing patients in between the training, and then my battery died on my phone and I got kicked out of the training. It was just a bit of a mess.
Did you get kicked out of the training?
No, because I was doing the training on my phone. Like I was dialing into it on my phone and I forgot to bring my charger with me.
Oh, like a Zoom type thing.
Yeah. So it was a bit messy that way. And I think I was just tired today because we had a birthday yesterday as well. It was Isla's birthday yesterday. She was 16. I actually just can't even get my head around that.
That you have a 16-year-old.
Yeah, and you know, this morning I dropped her off at a hospital that I used to work in. She's doing TY experience there. Mm. And I was working there when she was born.
Oh my God, okay.
And so today I've been getting like texts from all colleagues, you know, about meeting her and stuff. And it's really funny because I remember delivering that program, that TY program, and feeling that I wasn't much older than the girls who were in on experience. And now I have a daughter doing it. It's just...
Is that crazy?
It is bonkers.
What did you do for her birthday? Because I'm so new to the world of... Because this was my first real birthday party for Pather and I just... I didn't know what to do. But tell me what you do first. I'm going to have some chocolate biscuit cake.
Oh, yeah, left over, by the way. That's so nice.
What did you do for a 16-year-old's birthday?
Well, you see, they're very self-sufficient. So she went out on Saturday night into town to a restaurant with her friends. Mm. And then they came back on the Lewis and they stayed over in our house. Yeah. And then they got up the next morning. I just made them pancakes and bacon and stuff. And then they left and she had another friend come over for a while. And then we went out for dinner. The family went out for dinner then last night. So yeah, it was nice. Very low key.
Cute.
But lovely. Yeah.
I didn't know what to do for Pater's birthday. And we have like a WhatsApp group in the estate of the other mums. And I was like, what the heck? Do I need to cook a meal? Like,
oh yeah, for people coming.
For people coming. And it was only my family and Craig's family. But it was like, do I do...
Oh yeah, like a big pot or something. What did you do?
Finger food.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I pulled in the pregnancy card as well.
Yeah. No, that's totally fine.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, what did nearly cause divorce in my house is the amount of money I spent on balloons for the birthday.
I see that, Rebecca. I see that. That has not gone unnoticed. Like, how many balloons do you have? It's like, you think you're the, it's like walking into the Kardashians.
I know. I didn't realise how much.
Except they're not just as monochromatic as.
They're not monochromatic. And matte. I didn't get him like oceans of white roses.
Do you know that freaks me out? I actually look at their parties and all I can think about is.
The waste.
What happens to all those balloons afterwards? And where do they go? And I do think about that.
I know. It's hard not to. Shall we talk about the Kardashians? Are you up to speed?
I am.
Did you notice there was a rogue balloon in this week's episode? I was like, sure, of course. There must be balloons floating in every corner of their house.
Yeah, I didn't notice that, actually. I'm not as loving this series at all.
I agree. They led with their strongest episode and then everything else has been...
Yeah, yeah, really dull.
Can we talk about Chris's hip surgery scene?
Yeah. Oh, God. Like the actual surgery.
So graphic.
Yeah, it was crazy. Do you know, that's really interesting because I have an uncle who has needed a knee replacement, but he has a coexisting heart condition. And they said that even if they did his surgery under local anaesthetic, he wouldn't have been able to withstand the pulling and dragging and bashing. And having looked at that, I can totally see why.
I know, it was a bit, not since Courtney delivered her own baby have we seen such graphic.
It was brutal, wasn't
surgery
it?
Room scene.
Yeah.
And you know what, I even noticed.
But she's gassed like working out then afterwards in her silk pajamas.
Oh yeah, it was, but it feels like filler, doesn't it?
Total filler. Yeah. But always the scenes with Chris are filler. Yeah. But it all kind of feels a wee bit like that.
I agree, there's not much going on, is there?
Yeah.
Are we going to get to see Pete in Keeping Up?
I think he does come into one episode.
Okay. Yeah, so we're on the same page anyway about the Kardashians being a week.
Yeah, I'm a bit disappointed.
But yeah, we're still going to watch every episode, presumably.
Yeah, I will. It's pure escapism.
Even when they went to Miami, it was so boring, wasn't it?
So boring.
My other big news of the week, before I forget, is that I had an appointment with Hollis Street and I got prescription medicine for heartburn. Claire.
Oh, and has it transformed?
Did you know such a thing exists?
No.
Game.
Not. What is
changer.
It?
What the name of it? I haven't a clue.
Was it Lansoprazole or something? Like, was it for reflux?
It's for, all of that. Ingestion, heartburn.
Okay.
It's just, guys, I don't know. I was really resisting it in my first pregnancy because I was like, I don't want to take it. Oh, sure, the doctor was like, it's absolutely safe.
Oh, wow.
I'm sleeping full nights. Oh. I have no discomfort. Anyway,
transformative.
A main bullet point that I have from the week.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good. And Camille, have you watched much telly?
Bits. So I was really good the week before I went on holidays and I watched a good few things.
Okay.
But it feels a little bit passé to talk about them. But one of the things I did watch that I loved was, do you remember we spoke, we mentioned the Jeremy Paxman documentary.
I couldn't find it then. I couldn't find how to watch it.
It was really good. I loved it. But again, what's the point in talking about it too much? It was, great. He was great. He was funny. It was done differently to any other documentary I've seen around an authored illness, we'll say.
Okay.
It was very clear that he wanted it done a certain way. And I think it was really carried out that way.
Wow.
There was humour. He was totally himself.
And tell me this, did he talk about, because I saw him there on something. Oh yeah, he was on, Strictly did a whole celebration of 100 years at the BBC.
Yes.
And there was a clip of him on it. And his voice is really good. And you know, with Parkinson's, your voice gets very hypotonic and low intensity. And there's a really good evidence-based treatment for it from speech and language therapy. And I was wondering, did he mention anything about engaging with
speech and language? Speech and language didn't come up actually in it, but... So while they were recording, he was still actually presenting.
Yeah.
Like he was still working. It wasn't so much his speech. And actually, you're right. He did sound really good throughout the documentary. But you know how he said he was diagnosed was that...
Because his face is
his
quite...
His face.
Yeah.
But he went into the doctor and the doctor had been watching him on telly and said that they'd noticed that he had Parkinson's mask.
Yeah. So it's like a mask, like facies is called, and it's just where your face becomes very impassive.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. Which I'll never forget going, it was actually going to get my mum's cancer diagnosis, and we knew it was coming. And we were walking into We were walking into the doctor's office and my dad was taking a long time coming up the corridor, and I turned around and saw him coming up, and just with clarity that I had never seen before, I just looked at him and it was his gait as much as his face, and I was going, oh my God, you have Parkinson's. Like, I just in my head just looked at him and I thought, oh God. You know, it was just the weirdest thing, because we were going to get this diagnosis from my mum and I turned around and saw him. So she died in the July, and then in the September I remember driving to the neurologist with my dad for the first time, and he actually didn't get a diagnosis until later, but he had a Parkinson's plus syndrome.
What did you do with that thought? Like, did you just sit on it or?
Well, it's funny then, because my cousin's a GP, and about a week after my mum's diagnosis, my cousin asked to see me, and she said, Claire, I think your dad has Parkinson's. And I said, I know, I was thinking exactly the same thing. And the weird thing was, when I was looking back then at my photographs, we got married 2 years previously, and I was looking back at the photographs of my wedding album, and I could see it as clear as day then, looking back, but I didn't see it at the time.
Wow.
But his face was very, didn't move very much.
Wow, that's...
It's mad, isn't it?
One of the other things in that documentary was, and I'd read about this woman before, but she featured in it. So she works with a university in the UK. She can smell Parkinson's. Oh. So essentially what happened was, her husband came home one day and she kind of got a really strong odour from him and kind of mentioned him. She was like, oh, do you know, jump in the shower. And it never went away. And she said it wasn't until some time later, when he was diagnosed, she went along with him to a support group for people with Parkinson's, and she walked into the room and she got hit with the smell. So she, I don't know how she linked up with this university, and obviously they weren't sure whether she was legit or not.
Yeah.
So they did a test and she was 100%, sorry, she was 99% correct, and she got it wrong with one person. So she diagnosed, and the person that she got it wrong with 6 months later
was diagnosed.
She pre-diagnosed them.
Oh my God.
I know.
And what way did they do it? Did the smell without her seeing them?
A blind smell test, I think, yeah.
Oh yeah. My goodness.
And like, it was an amazing, like, there was lots of stuff in the documentary that was really, like, it was interesting, it was entertaining, but like, that was mind-blowing.
That is mind-blowing.
Yeah. Isn't it? If that ever comes out again, I'd love to see that. Yeah. You'd love it.
I know. Sure, I was dying to watch it, and then I couldn't. Like, it was on ITV. Where did you watch it? You watched it through Sky, did you?
I watched it through Sky and other channels. There was also a really gorgeous interview. I don't know why I'm spending too much time on this documentary now, but there was an interview. So Jeremy had interviewed a man, what was it now, years ago. It was a kind of maybe one of the highlights of his career, where he apparently had, I think he must have been a politician. He asked him the same question 8 times. It was kind of the total epitome of his style interview.
Yeah.
But he sat down with that man again. And I think did that man also might have Parkinson's. But they spoke about the interview. They spoke about...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it was really like, it's again that kind of male vulnerability, which I think...
You don't see so often.
Yeah. So that... documentary, really, I really loved it.
Yeah, we must have a look and see if we can even get it on YouTube or even see clips of it. Yeah,
because it just sounds great. Obviously really stuck with me. Now the soundtrack was bizarre. They had like
thing to pick up on.
What? Pixies. Verve.
Oh, I think I like the sound of that.
It was odd.
I wonder if he have any say in that. The Pixies.
Do you know that the Cineman from The Chase has Parkinson's?
Which one?
He's one of the chasers, the Cineman. The Cineman.
Oh, I don't know which one that is. Oh,
he was good on it. He appeared.
I must look that out.
And Sharon Osbourne was in it.
Why is she up at Ozzy? But he had drug-induced Parkinson's.
I really like her. I mean, I'm sure she's a demon.
No, I have very mixed feelings about her.
Yeah, you can tell she's hard work, but...
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
You're not a fan.
No, not really.
One of the other things that I have finished since we last spoke is Inside Man. Have you finished it?
Yes.
Do you remember we were a bit on the fence?
Yes.
My opinion changed after episode 3.
I don't know.
Yours didn't?
No, I didn't. I still didn't. I didn't like it at the by the end of it.
So our issue was that it was a bit far-fetched, a bit like, oh, for God's sake. But I don't know. It took enough turns for me. I thought the vicar's wife was brilliant.
She was.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't fault the acting at all.
Even David Tennant?
Oh, yeah, I don't really like him, though. But he's a real... I think he's a good actor, but I don't really like him. No, I just... No, it didn't do it for me.
Okay.
I can't even think. I was just too clunky or something, or too... There was nothing... I don't know. There was nothing sophisticated about it, or... I just thought the humour was clunky and...
Yeah, I can see where you're coming
from. Now, it was kind of good. I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it, but I suppose the realisation of the victim towards the end, what she kind of realised by listening to that phone call at the end. Do you know what I'm talking about? When the son was on the phone. The realisation crossed her face that they'd been telling the truth.
I thought there were still moments of it, in the last two episodes I thought it took a turn up for me, and I thought once I was able to park the fact that I didn't like the certain style of it, you know, the kind of the whimsical, wacky, a bit over the top, if I kind of just dealt with that and accepted it, I liked where it went with the storyline.
Okay, yeah, it was quite reminiscent, or it had overtures of Seven. In a way, do you remember?
I've seen Seven.
Seven, you know, the film with Brad Pitt and Gwyneth Paltrow?
I haven't seen that.
Have you not?
No.
The Seven Deadly Sins?
No.
It kind of had that sort of a vibe about it towards the end.
I think it's teed up for a series two, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. I'll probably watch it.
I don't know if I could convince Roger to watch it. He really hated it.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's that. What, anything else you've been watching?
I watched Trouble at Top Shop.
Oh, did you?
Oh my God. Oh my God, Rebecca. I felt so sad at the end of the Trouble at Top Shop.
Okay.
Do you remember we had a conversation a few weeks ago when I was saying I haven't bought anything of Top Shop since it was bought over by ASOS?
Yes.
And I was asking you, saying you had bought a few things, and I was asking you, was it still like cult? You know, because there were always like cool pieces in Top Shop, and it was always really ahead of its time, and it was all about the fashion.
Yeah.
Until Philip Green got involved in Top Shot.
Oh, so was he not always involved?
No.
Okay.
And he ruined that brand. So badly ruined it. They had these most incredible women at the helm, and it was all about the fashion, and he wanted it to be all about the celebrity.
Okay.
And he always wanted it to be about undercutting the price and doing things for cheaper. And he actually was not really a retail mogul. He was just a wide boy wheeler dealer.
Okay.
And a horrible person. Like a vile, horrible person by all accounts. And he just, like that, he drove the brand into the ground.
That was Channel 4, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that's available on The Player, potentially.
Or was it BBC?
Or was it? I'll check.
Yeah, check that. I would definitely... It's definitely worth a watch. It was... It was a fabulous piece of TV. I loved it. But I actually just felt really sad.
Oh, you're right. It was BBC.
Yeah, because there was just no need for Top Shop to go under. So, anyway... That was that. I watched that. What else have I watched? Oh, you're going to be really proud of me.
What?
I watched The White Lotus.
So had you not seen any of it?
None.
Okay, tell me.
Oh, I love it.
Yes, it's so you're not finished it.
Oh, no, no, no.
It's brilliant. I love it.
I'm only three or four in.
And that's on, what are you watching it on? Sky Atlantic is what
yes.
I watch. Yeah.
It's fabulous.
The clothes.
The clothes, but the sense of humour, it's just really clever, and it's dark and it's a bit wacky, and it kind of reminds me of things. It actually kind of reminds me of, you know, the woman who plays Stifler's mum?
Yeah.
Who's also in this. She, I think I asked you about this before. She was in a mockumentary film called Best in Show.
Oh, you mentioned this. I think
and cheese and that, and it's got that kind of sense of humour.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. I totally would encourage anyone who hasn't seen it. I don't know how that flew under the radar so much with me.
I know. It was hugely awarded, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Oh my God, I love it.
We'll flag this later, but series two is just around the corner.
I know. Next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's brilliant.
But it's really...
So where...
I'm laughing out loud.
Where are you at the moment in it?
I think we've just finished the end of episode three.
Okay.
Or maybe even four. So what has happened...
What do you think of the honeymoon couple? What do you think of the honeymoon couple?
It's just, they're brilliant. Mm. I mean, and you the thing about it is, it's so unpredictable. You don't know what's coming, really.
Mm.
I mean, we know that she's dead. That's given away in the very first... maybe we don't know that she's dead.
You know it's nothing,
Claire. It's implied that she's dead in the very first episode.
That's not what I felt from the... It was implied at all.
Okay. Oh my God, I can't wait. And everybody, like the hotel manager, amazing.
Yeah.
His unravelling is, and his Machiavellian kind of treatment of the young honeymooner.
Yeah.
And he's so uptight and a bit sinister, and I can't, you know, it's fabulous.
There is that amazing humour in it as well, but the whodunit thing starts to become really strong. So it's got everything. It's just, yeah.
It's got fashion, it's got wit, it's got drama, it's got intrigue. It's brilliant.
That the mum, obviously the wealthy woman, I just think she looks so like Sharon Horgan.
Do you?
Yeah, you don't.
Like a younger version of Sharon Horgan?
Not the honeymooning one. Oh, no. The one who's... She's there with her daughter and the daughter's friend and her son and...
Oh, no.
No?
No, I don't see that at all. Did you watch her in Dear John?
No.
Dear John's a good one to watch.
Where will I watch that? Google it, Rebecca.
Google it. But it...
Oh, I'm glad you watched it.
It is based on a true story.
Okay.
Dear John. You'll have to watch that. She plays the wife in it. It's really good.
I'm delighted you're watching that. That's good.
Love it. And there's something else that I've watched that I really want you to watch.
Okay. So
do you want to talk about that now?
Yeah, go for it.
So we're watching The Watcher.
Oh, I saw someone posting about that today, but they said they didn't like it.
Oh, what?
Okay.
So it's got Naomi Campbell, Naomi Watts, sorry, and God, your guy, he's in everything. He's in like Boardwalk Empire and what's his name?
Italian guy.
Yeah.
He's really good.
Oh, he's fabulous. So they have brought Naomi Watts and her partner, her husband, have
Steve Buscemi.
No. Naomi Watts and her husband, their characters have bought this dream house with their kids, and they start getting these threatening letters.
Is this scary?
Yes. not so much at the start, but it gets a bit more intense as it goes along. Definitely has comedic elements to it as well.
Okay.
And it's got Stifler's mom in it again.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And she's brilliant in it. But like, it's got a really good supporting cast as well. Mia Farrow's in it. Another really famous actress, and she's a character actress, and I never know her name, but she's in loads of stuff. Really good.
Okay.
And it's on Netflix. So
okay.
It's very accessible for a lot of people.
Brilliant.
Highly recommend that. And you have no idea, like, a girl in work, Hillary, again, who's great at following us and giving us recommendations. Hillary has watched it all, and I'm texting her in the middle of it going, a bit like what me and you would do, and I'm texting her going, I think it's this person and this, and okay. She was going, I had all those thoughts too.
She's ahead of you.
She's finished, okay. So she's not telling me anything, but yeah. I know that it'll completely, my thoughts on what's going on will completely have changed in another episode.
Oh, you've sold it really well to me.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Okay, I've
it's
so good. That.
Yeah, and it's Ryan Adams who is behind loads of stuff, but he did The Westworld. Did you watch Westworld?
Not the musician, Ryan Adams, no.
No. No. No. No. What else has he done? He's done loads of stuff. Oh, Oh, he's behind Dahmer as well.
Oh, okay. Have you watched that?
No, but Roger has watched it all.
Okay.
How do you feel about that? And I suppose, like, so Dahmer and... So Dahmer's come in for a lot of criticism because the families are just feeling really exploited. Because obviously their loved ones have died. And they just feel that it's just almost glamorising him and he's got a whole new fan base now. Oh, wow. And his... a pair of glasses that he wore in prison have just sold for 150,000 or something. So there's that, right? But Netflix just sort of kind of like ignored the fact that the families were so upset about it. And now, I suppose the British establishment are up in arms and a lot of prominent British actors and politicians have all come out now about the Crown and saying that Netflix need to put a disclaimer on it saying that it is a fictionalised version of events.
Is there nothing on the Crown about that?
There is now, but they're calling it now, they're promoting it now as a fictionalised drama, which they had never done before.
Okay.
And there is a hope, there is a push on them to put it, you know, at the front end of each episode. Whether they'll do that or not, I don't know.
I don't think it would impact viewers. I really don't.
I don't, but the interesting thing was, right, obviously, we know that it's, you know, a lot of those conversations took place in private and you can't possibly know what happened. But there is part of you goes, oh, no, yeah, that probably was like what it was like or whatever. And then as it gets more into like present day or, you know, more recent past, you know, the more people who are going to be impacted by its content, I suppose, who are still alive and everything. But part of me is going, oh, look, it's a drama. We all know it's a drama, right? But I started to watch Blonde, the Marilyn Monroe
movie,
on, and I had to stop. I just had to stop because I was thinking, this is fictionalized and it's so brutal that if it's not real, why would you put your... Like, it was horrific. Salacious. Yeah.
I know. It's a funny one, isn't it? Especially I think when you look at things like around murder, and that's been happening for a few years now with the crime trend and the podcasts. And wasn't it the first time I remember kind of, and maybe I'm wrong, but the first time I remember coming to the fore was with the Serial podcast, where the victims' families felt like they didn't appear in the narrative or
So that it's like the spotlight is on the perpetrator.
Well, and they're the person who's been cleared since.
Yeah, okay.
They've been released from jail.
Okay.
And maybe it wasn't Serial, but it was one of the early podcasts. I think it might have been Serial. Because it's so raw for people and it's nearly, how do you successfully combine entertainment and grief?
But the funny, like, there is obviously an absolutely massive appetite for this type of this genre, because Dahmer is the number one show on Netflix.
Yeah.
But like, how do you, when you're watching something like that, are you able to separate fact from fiction, or does it matter if you separate it, or is it, do you just watch it as a...
as its own entity?
Yeah.
I think with The Crown, no matter how much I know it is fiction and you're looking at scenes and you're going, well, this has been written by a scriptwriter, you can't help but transfer your reaction onto your feelings towards the real characters. But because I think that they're probably so well researched that they have to be based on something.
So there's a scene in it, apparently, in the new series between John Major and Charles. And they're
King Charles,
and they're basically plotting how to get the Queen to kind of resign.
Okay.
And John Major has come out and said that did not happen.
Well, politicians never lie.
Exactly.
And neither do the royal family.
No, but
we'll never know.
We'll never know.
And do we need to know? Like,
does it matter? Like, do we care that a lot of the old stuff was made up, or does it just matter now because it affects people in the present day?
I know what you're saying. I don't think I personally care, because there's always the get out of jail card that they're going, well, this is a work of fiction.
Yeah,
this the public is creative. Have an opinion anyway. God, am I really like cruel and harsh here? Look, I think maybe because it's the royal family, I'm not giving them enough of my sympathy.
Yeah, isn't it funny?
I know.
But by the same, I think the converse is true as well. I think that there's so much up in arms about this, but I bet you the same people are sitting watching Dahmer and not really caring that it's may equally be a fictionalised version of what happened.
True.
Anyway, it's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Will you watch it?
Well, I was going to say, should we both watch it this week?
Yeah.
Now, it's not something that I'd be drawn to, but it being...
What, Dahmer?
Yeah. Can we watch at least one episode and chat about it next week? Because how can we not? Everyone is watching and talking about it.
Yeah, we have to.
Yeah?
Yeah. And you have to watch The Watcher.
I don't mind that. I'll watch that. That doesn't sound like something I would hate, but...
No.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking we should watch next week.
Okay. Oh, I'm so scared.
Is there anything else you've watched that you want to talk about before we move on?
What else have I watched? Well, I'm watching Strictly, which is still bringing me great joy. Although I do miss lots of the old professional dancers have gone now, and I'm missing them. But that's great. You told me I would never go back to the Bake Off, and I have.
And I have fallen away from it.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
I missed it last, because I'm watching the repeats at the weekends. Mm. But the standard is nowhere near as good.
That's what everyone's saying. And I think...
Have they run out of bakers?
I don't know. How could you in the UK? There's such a huge population.
But maybe just people aren't... Like, it's just kind of strange, because it really isn't the same
standard. Caliber.
Mm.
What do you think of the... Matt Lucas.
Matt Lucas just looks so unwell that's the only thing I can think of when I look at him, and he's just not funny.
Mm. Yeah, it's not working.
It's not working. He doesn't have a trace of comedy in him.
I know. I think maybe that's part of it. There are just a few elements that just aren't working this year, aren't there?
What else? I feel like we've started to watch a series on Netflix about Everest.
Is it Spencer Matthews? No.
No.
Okay.
It's actually it's a documentary based on real events with real footage about an earthquake in Nepal that triggered an avalanche and people being killed on an expedition.
Oh God.
So it's got survivors, and it's also got real time footage of what was happening. So that's really good. I'm enjoying that. So we've just watched one of that. There's two more episodes of that. I feel like I've watched other things though too.
The reason I mentioned Spencer Matthews is I listened to
Spencer and Folk.
Yeah, I listened to that podcast. I actually really like it. But he, I know, has a documentary coming out about his brother. Do you know the story?
Oh no.
He had a brother who passed away on Everest, or between base camp maybe and Everest. I don't know the details. But I think the documentary is him going back to
trying to find his body.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which could be, what a story.
Absolutely. It's funny, I think I said this to you before, I used to loathe him. Now I really like him. And the funny thing is as well, I really, really, really like Vogue.
Yeah.
But I do find that their podcast is, there's a real shtick in it that I'm kind of wearing thin on me.
Okay.
So it's a lot of her just telling him he's crap at everything.
I know.
And him being...
I'm always right and you're always right.
Yeah, and it's just a bit... It's grand, but I'm not loving it.
Yeah. Now that we're mentioning it, you obviously, because you're a grown adult, don't still watch Made in Chelsea like I do.
No. But you're loving it,
are
you?
I love it. I just love it. It's such escapism.
Yeah.
And... I have one friend who I know watches it as much as I do.
Well, I have a friend who watches it. You two should get together.
Get in my WhatsApp group, because I love dissecting it afterwards.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm still really into it. I love it.
And is it as good as it was back in the day? Wow.
Yeah, I think so. I mean...
They do show it often on Gogglebox.
Yeah.
So it's obviously still capturing people.
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah.
Do you... Are you a Late Late Girl on a Friday night or a Graham Norton?
Graham Norton.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Did you watch it last week?
Was that Brendan Gleeson, Colin Farrell?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, would you believe I didn't watch it last week? I think maybe, I don't know where I was in Galway. But I watched it last night with my in-laws.
Who else was on it with them? Kate Hudson, was it?
Kate Hudson was on it.
Love her.
And the editor of British Vogue, what was his name?
Oh, yes.
He was on it.
Yeah.
And that other actress, what's her name? It was good. Loved it.
Because I watched it, I can't remember who the actress was.
I'll Google it.
What was she in?
She was in Pitch Perfect.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I don't remember her name. I know who you mean. Yeah. I do like it. Gonna go and see the Banshee of Inisherin tomorrow.
Can't wait to see that.
Can't wait to see it either. I would love to go and see. I still haven't seen The Quiet Girl.
I still haven't either. Sorry. Do you know who was on it? Was Kate Hudson, Elizabeth Banks?
Elizabeth Banks. Yes.
Colin Farrell, Brendan Gleeson. Mm-hmm. And what was the name of the fashion editor? He was very funny.
He was great, wasn't he? That was a great story.
Edward Enninful.
Yeah.
Editor-in-Chief of British Vogue.
Yeah. I'm definitely. And the funny thing was, by the power of television, Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell were also on The Late Late.
Yes. Yeah, I missed that. I heard it was good. They're so entertaining. They just brought life to the couch, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
And I loved all the kind of the Irish references and such. It was so parochial.
So parochial. And you know what? I know people who've gone to see that and they said it just hits you and stays with you.
The film?
Mm-hmm.
When are you going?
Tomorrow.
Oh, are you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you can tell us about it next week.
Yeah, I can't wait. Oh. I'm really looking forward to it.
The last film I went to, kind of touched upon what we were just talking about with The Crown, was Elvis.
Oh.
Which was completely authorised and backed by his family.
And so did you, you've seen it?
Oh, I loved it.
I didn't see it and I love Elvis.
Oh, do you like Baz Luhrmann stuff?
I do.
Okay, yeah. You'd love that. Let me know next week how
I love Elvis.
Hmm.
There's a load of films actually I'd love to see. Well, I never got to see Top Gun in the cinema either, and I would have loved to have seen it in the cinema.
We got rave reviews.
Yeah. What about are you listening to any podcasts?
I am indeed, because I'm on the road. So I'll do my usuals, which are I love John and Vogue. I listen to Vogue and Spencer. but I also have started listening to, I think I mentioned it before, Lena Dunham's The C Word,
where
she talks about women who were kind of maligned in the media.
Mm.
And so I had listened to the Lindsay Lohan one, and my most recent listen was Winona Ryder.
Oh, yeah, she was so maligned.
It's really good.
Isn't it funny how girls get such a bad rap? Mm. Like, she was obviously going through something.
But beyond that, like, they went earlier into her life as a really young teenage actress whose sexuality and virginity was like... open.
Oh, yeah. That's the way Britney was treated as well. Have you ever gone back and watched the interviews that Britney had to endure?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen those clips.
Dreadful. Like,
it's really appalling and it's kind of shocking. But that's one I'd recommend. The C Word, Lena Dunham. And she's a co-host. I can't remember the co-host name. The co-host is brilliant as well, but it's really good.
Mm.
I like that.
I've started listening to kind of like sociologists and psychology, so the likes of Mel Robbins and Glennon Doyle and Brené Brown, and you know, those kind of like, I suppose, well-being podcasts, but they're based in like sociology and the study of shame and parenting and attachment and all of that. But then they are really good, because they can help you, even if you've got maybe, like, I don't know, scenarios in work or that you might think
send
of.
Send me on one. Send me on a recommendation. Another one I listen to sometimes is called Maintenance Phase. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's really good. It's all about body image and the health industry, and kind of exposing a lot of the ridiculousness around body image and the diet industry.
But
like, they've done things like exposés on Dr. Oz, where they've broken down all of the things that he said that are completely unfounded.
Okay.
But that's worth listening to. It's kind of
the maintenance.
It's called Maintenance Phase. I'll send you an episode.
Do you? I'll send you a Mel Robbins episode.
Oh, do. Remember the first Maintenance Phase one I listened to was, it did a kind of a deep dive into, do you remember that book, French Women Don't Get Fat?
Yeah.
And why that was problematic. But it's worth listening to.
Well, that sounds good.
Mm.
Yeah. The other thing I listened to this week that has an Irish context is I listened to Darren Garhey's Laughs of Your Life.
Oh yeah, they can be good.
Yeah, I listened to the one with Claire Byrne.
Oh right, okay. How was it like?
I really liked her. I just thought she came across as really warm and down to earth, okay, and very accessible, and not, you know, she didn't seem to have her guard up very much.
Okay.
It was really nice. Oh, interview. It was lovely.
There's one she did with Micheál Martin, I thought was really good. Did you listen to that one?
No, I haven't actually. I might go back and listen to that one.
And then I started listening to, basically because I'm influenced by you, a few weeks back I started listening to the Tommy Hector and Loretta podcast.
Oh, love
it's really
them.
Funny.
It's
really
so good. Funny. Had you never listened to it before?
No, never. But I think Loretta is amazing.
Oh, she's brilliant. I still vividly remember my friend when she started listening to them. And this was like, I don't know how long they're going, maybe 3 years or something. Okay. And my friend Sharon was describing and this Loretta person who I'd never heard of. And I said, well, what does she add to it? And she's going, oh, she's so good. Like, she's a really good fit with it.
Totally.
And I couldn't really envisage it. And then, oh my God, I listened to it and the three of them just work so well together.
How do they come together? Obviously, I know the Tommy and Hector connection.
Yeah, I don't know how they...
But she does bring a brilliant layer to it. I don't think it would be the same without
her.
No,
it wouldn't. It wouldn't. Yeah, no, it's brilliant. Yeah. I'm right up to date with that. I never miss it.
Oh, yeah. It's good travelling on the road listening.
Yeah. Oh, you'd be laughing away.
Yeah. Do you listen to James Kavanagh's podcast?
No, I don't.
That's good. That's worth a listen.
Yeah. Did you see the thing the other day that he put up? on Instagram.
About lasagnas.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Well, I have played that clip. I'd say I've played that clip at least 30 times.
It's very funny.
Like, it's just, nobody's talking about
single serve. So,
like, it was like a, what do the Americans call a loaf tin?
Casserole dish.
No, what the hell was it? It was basically, nobody's talking about lasagna and loaf tin. And his mother's going, yeah, well, I would make a lasagna, but I tend to make a big one. And then his father going, what are you talking about? Why would anybody be talking about? And he just kept so straight. Oh God, it was very funny. I must listen to him actually.
He has that though, doesn't he? He has that humour which is just...
You see, I actually don't know him very well because I don't listen to him.
He's very funny.
Yeah, I must go and listen to him.
But do you know what it is about his podcast? Is it's great for recommendations. But basically he has guests on, he asks them about, you know, where their favourite place to eat out is, what their favourite meal is.
Oh yeah, I like the sound of that.
Oh, you would like it actually.
Oh yeah, what's it called?
What did you eat this week?
What did you eat this week? Yeah, that sounds right up my street.
It's good, it's worth a listen to.
Yeah.
Shall we talk about what's coming up this week? Anything caught your eye?
Yes, so there's a show coming out this week. It may already be out by the time the pod comes out. Called The Peripheral, and it's got Jack Rayner, who was the first thing that I ever saw him in was What Richard Did.
Oh yes, sorry, yeah. I remember that.
And he's in it with Chloe Grace Moretz. They play a brother and sister who think that they're gaming, you know, but actually they're being sucked into this technology conspiracy.
Another Black Mirror type thing.
Yeah, so that looks good, and I think it has the potential to be really good.
Do you know where it's really coming
good.
Out?
Yes, it's coming out on Amazon. Yeah, so that looks really good. The Gangs of London is already out, I think, as well. Did you watch any of that?
I haven't seen it, no.
No, it's really violent, which would not normally be my cup of tea, but I really like it. So it's out, so I might get back into it at some stage.
Is it, this stupid question, is it a second series or something like that? I don't,
it could
I
even
don't...
be the third series of it, actually.
It's a gangster thing,
yeah,
is it?
Set in London.
Okay.
But really modern day, present day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, wow.
Yeah.
I had spotted a few things. Okay, I don't know, have you ever, I mentioned this in the last season. Autumn Watch is starting on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
On BBC Two.
Okay, I must look at that. That's
nice.
Oh,
it's lovely TV. So it starts at 8 o'clock. BBC Two, and then it'll go on throughout the week. But that's my story.
Yeah.
Louis Theroux. Louis Theroux interviews a new series.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's starting.
I love him.
I know. Who doesn't?
When's that out?
BBC Two Tuesday tomorrow night at 9:15. We might pop that on the Instagram.
Yeah.
And he is interviewing Stormzy.
Oh,
I'll definitely watch that.
Yeah. I saw a thing, I think it's actually out tonight, but you'll be able to get it and catch up because it's Virgin Media. Lucy Investigates. So it's Lucy Kennedy. Kennedy and
plastic surgery, was it? Or
no,
something?
Travellers.
Ah, I've seen it promoed a lot.
So have I, yeah, but I think that's tonight, which is Monday, so you should be able to get it. And
the other thing that we had noticed was on tonight was TG Carr had that Cillian Murphy film. What did I say it was called?
Peacock.
Peacock, yeah.
How have we missed this?
I don't know. Susan Sarandon, Cillian Murphy.
I have never heard of Susan Sarandon and Cillian Murphy been in a movie before. I just hadn't. How did we miss that?
I know. I set record. You probably didn't get a chance.
I'll let you know. What station was it on?
TG Carr.
On me, you wouldn't be able to get that.
I don't know about the films if they go onto the player, but yeah. I have it recorded. You can come over early next week and
okay,
watch it. I noted this because Harry Enfield was in it and I used to love him when he was at the height.
Uh-huh.
So it's called Your Living Room. It's Thursday at 9:00 again on BBC Two. The Love Box in Your Living Room. Harry Enfield and Paul Whitehouse take inspiration from documentary maker Adam Curtis as they celebrate the BBC centenary. So I think there are a few centenary programmes about. The duo tell the true story of Britain's political and social evolution over the last century through the life of the BBC, and by turning complete fictions into a staggering array of hard facts, they reveal details about the BBC that have been buried for decades.
Okay.
So that'll kind of look good.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I noted was Monday the 31st, this day week, The White Lotus returns to Sky Atlantic.
Yeah, can't we? Must try and get the rest of it in. Many episodes are there in the first series?
Ooh, are there 7 or 8 maybe?
So good. I could actually easily binge the whole thing, you know, but I'm trying to savour it.
Pace yourself.
Yeah.
I know.
Do you know what I meant to ask you?
Well,
are you watching? I'm guessing you're not because you haven't mentioned it. Love is Blind?
No, it's out on Netflix, is it?
Yeah.
Do you know what? Is this the second or third series?
Yeah, it's the third, I think. I might actually put it up on Instagram on stories to see if people want us to watch it and talk about it. Because if there's no appetite for it, I'm not going to start it.
Yeah.
But
you watched previous series,
I watched one previous series and I actually watched it in 48 hours.
Oh, okay.
But you know the way when you finish something and you Roger watched it with me.
Yeah.
The two of us watched it. The kids were both away for the weekend to different places. And it was really, really, really bad weather.
Okay.
So
you just hunkered down.
And we hunkered down and he watched it as well. But at the end of it, you go, oh no, you wouldn't do that again.
You would, maybe not in
but
that
if
manner.
You got into it, you'd friggin' probably would.
Was that the last series with,
It was last February. It was February a year ago.
I think, you know what slightly ruined it for me was all of the press around all of the marriage breakups subsequently.
Yeah.
But you know,
I think some of them have survived, though.
Have they? Mm. Well, do you know, put up a poll, and if the people want it,
I will do service.
Do you know what I wanted to ask you? Did you ever get into The Voice?
Not really, although it is much less cynical than
other talent shows.
Mm.
Totally, my mother is obsessed with it. Now I wouldn't have watched it religiously. She is honestly, she loves it.
But who's your favorite judge?
I think she loves them all. She certainly has a soft spot for Tom Jones, but she loves them all. And she's always saying how she loves how nice they are and how decent they are to the participants.
Yeah.
But I just said, the only reason I'm mentioning it is the final is on this Saturday at 8:00.
Ooh.
The final of The Voice.
Yeah, and I like Emma Willis as well.
So do I. Do you remember she did it From Here to Maternity? Mm-hmm. She did a maternity.
She's doing another series of that, I think.
Was that what it was called? From Here?
I can't remember what it was called, but it was where she went and trained as a healthcare assistant in midwifery.
Wow.
So she was helping with the delivery of the babies. Mm.
Do you know what I have here is on next Sunday at 10:00 on Sky Documentaries, Kingdom of Dreams, a chronicle of the fashion world.
I saw this.
Yeah.
I saw this advert. This looks right up my street.
And also, sorry, I don't think I wrote it down, but I think there's an Anna Wintour documentary also.
Ooh, no, I've seen that already. I've seen an Anna Wintour. I wonder if that's a repeat.
The Editor's Eye. It is a repeat.
Yeah.
Is that the one you've seen? In Vogue, The Editor's Eye.
Mm-hmm. But The Kingdom of Dreams looks great.
Mm. What's is this around an anniversary? Because there's also an Alexander McQueen documentary on the same night. So on Sunday night, basically, they're playing the Anna Wintour documentary, followed by Kingdom of Dreams, which isn't a repeat.
That's next Sunday.
Followed by McQueen.
Oh, wow. That I would love all that.
Yeah, me too. I actually haven't seen the...
It's very good.
The Anna Wintour. So that's the Anna Wintour starts at 8:45 with the Kingdom of Dreams at 10.
Have you been following the little bit of like... gossip, let's say, for want of a better word.
Go on.
What is, you know, gossip is charming and scandal is gossip made tedious by morality. Oscar Wilde, Lady Windermere's fan. gossip about, so you know the way Brooklyn Peltz Beckham's wife, Nicole Peltz Beckham, didn't wear a Victoria Beckham dress.
No, I can tell you I haven't been following this, but I want to hear.
Okay, so she didn't wear a Victoria Beckham bridal gown.
Mm.
And there was all lots of speculation about why she didn't wear it and did she snub Victoria.
Does Victoria have a bridal range?
No.
Okay.
So, good point and well made. So anyway... She was clearly sick of this narrative that she had snubbed Victoria. So she came out. And you know the way they're a really tight family and they, it's all, you know. So she came out and said, this is what happened. I wanted to wear a Victoria Beckham dress. That was the plan. And then a couple of days after that was all decided, I got a call. Her mother got a call from Rebecca, or from Victoria.
Oh my God, sorry. Did you say Rebecca Luce?
I was, no, Victoria. Victoria. To say that Rebecca Luce, to throw her into the story.
I said, this is good gossip. It is Go gossip. On, Claire, you have
and that is scandal. But from Victoria to say that her atelier couldn't make it, that we wouldn't be able to do it. So she went with a different designer. I can't remember who she went with. So she's basically saying...
She's throwing her mother under the bus already, early days. Mm-hmm. Oh, my Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, and then apparently the next thing was that it was reported that David Beckham gave Brooklyn a real dressing down about, you know, keeping things in the family and that we're a close family, blah, 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 blah. So, and then Victoria had her big premiere of Fashion Week in Paris for the first time. And there's great speculation about whether Brooklyn and Nicole would be there. Of course, I was all over it.
Yeah.
They were there, but they didn't stay very long. And it was, I don't know, it was like very like tokenism, very much so. Right,
okay.
Fascinating.
You'll be all over this now for the next while.
All over it.
Do you think that, what's her name, Nicole, is it? Do you think that Nicole gets chocolate biscuit cake from her mother-in-law like I get from mine sent from Donegal?
Not a chance.
No.
Not a chance.
For next week, are you happy enough to watch... Dahmer.
Yeah.
We'll watch one episode.
Let's watch one episode. Yeah.
Is Halloween this weekend? Do you hate it?
Yeah, it is.
You don't love it?
I don't love it.
Okay.
I used to love it when the kids were small, but not loving it. But I will watch it.
Shall we leave it at that?
We'll leave it at that.
Thank you, dear listeners, for listening in.
We wish you
could all experience my mother-in-law's chocolate biscuit cake.
I know, it is really good chocolate biscuit cake, and I would say I'm a good connoisseur.
It's your thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is my thing. I love it.
It's your thing.
My thing. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus... Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.